We want now to have an experience of worship, an understanding of worship through a process of history. We'll be doing this tonight and tomorrow night. Tonight carrying us up through the Reformation, the start of the Reformation. And so moving through the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, and then up through the up to the Reformation tomorrow night from the Reformation on. So let's listen, let's receive, let's worship.
Genesis, we find mention of the first musician. His name is Jubal. He was considered the father of all who play the harp and the flute. We cannot find record that he led worship, but it was an indication to us that music was an integral part of Israel life. Exodus 35, 36, 37. We find a gentleman named Bezalel. It says that the Holy Spirit was upon him, or God's Spirit was upon him. Really, as the first artist that we know about. Bezalel was really commissioned by God to bring to the people the ark and the tabernacle, the building of it. He knew wood, he knew fabric, he knew metals, he knew what it took to build, and he appreciated beauty. Bezalel. Is told that Israel at times would stand on two great hills or two mountains, and they would shout back and forth to each other the praises of God as a litany of praise spoken one to the other. King David, shepherd boy who played the harp, calmed the spirit of King Saul. And the Psalms, or the songs of David, were filled with both praise and lamentation as his faith and his heart grew under the auspices of God Almighty. And it was David whose desire to bring true worship back to Israel found the Ark of the Covenant. It had been taken by the Philistines and brought it back to Jerusalem. And he danced before it as it came into the city. Later in temple worship, 10% of the people serving in those temple ministries, they were musicians. Some 4,000 of them were singers and instrumentalists who played the harp, the lyre, and the loud cymbals. Before temple worship, women were involved in music and dancing. Miriam, we read about. However, with the entry of temple worship, only the men were allowed to lead. Then came synagogue worship. It expanded and developed the use of the voice. With the fall of the temple, most instruments fell into disuse, which meant that the synagogues were filled with worship for singers only. Intonation or cantillations of the Psalms and the Pentateuch, and perhaps the recitation of prayers, were all part of this great process. In the first century, records show that each book of the Bible had its own mode or formulae when it was canted, or the cantillation went forth from it. However, there became a transition from declarative reading into musical reading, And the chanting of Scripture goes back as far as Ezra in the 5th century. We know that the Psalms were sung in the temple. Israelite music was modal. It had much ornamentation or embellishment, depending upon the skill of the singer. It was very rhythmic and without regular recurring meters. Its scale included quarter tones, and they would be foreign to most of us today. Israelite music was monophonic music, music that had a melody line only. And with the coming of Christ, the New Covenant, New Testament worship, we find that the New Testament says little about music making. It is clear that the worship life of the early church was characterized by the use of psalms and other forms of song. There was little mention of music except for two parallel meetings of Christ and his disciples singing at the conclusion of the Last Supper meal. The other two passages in the Gospels mention instrumental music and dance. The mourning of the death of a girl in Matthew 9, and the merriment upon the return of the prodigal son of Jesus' parable. And we do know that Paul and Silas, they did sing in jail. We could call them the singing jailbirds. The Jewish converts carried over the musical culture of Jewish worship into the church, to Christianity. And in this regard, there was not radical break from Judaism that resulted in new forms of Christian music. Musicologists doing research have found the similarity of early Gregorian chant and Jewish music. Even the way scriptures were read and the prayers were given, they all had many similarities. Very little can also be said about the music of the first 3 centuries of the church beyond texts used and liturgical forms that followed. We know that it was modal and sung without instruments. There are evidences from the historian Pliny in the 1st century, Justin Martyr in the 2nd, and Tertullian in the 3rd of recorded worship practice that implicated chant and the use of singing. In the 4th century, Christians were able to worship openly, with Constantine establishing Christianity as a lawful and a respected faith. It was then that buildings began to be constructed to house the growing congregations, and the forms of worship began to be formulated. An interesting side note. A missionary to Yugoslavia by the name of Nicita from the Syrian Antiochian Church is credited of using hymnody to spread the gospel. When Jerome wrote that Nicita spread the gospel among European pagans, quote, chiefly by singing sweet songs of the cross. Celebrating the church calendar year helped bring focus to worship in all worship traditions. Who can keep the great Lenten traditions without being touched by the life of Christ? By the 4th century, the Roman Empire was permanently divided into Eastern and Western empires. By the 7th century, the Eastern Orthodox churches recognized 2 Byzantine liturgies, which are sung and given today, the Liturgy of St. Basil and the Liturgy of St. Chrysostom. In the 6th century, St. Gregory the Great of the Western Church founded the Schola Cantorum to standardize and teach the official chant within the church. By the 9th century, music notation was begun and history was made.